So today is Wednesday, February 2nd, Rosh Chodesh Adar, the first day of Adar. And we are learning Parshat Truma, and we're going to focus on what is translated as the acacia wood, the Atzei Shittim. And again, I think there are 29 pages on the source sheet. One of them is an essay by the Lubavitcher Rebbe that I encourage you all to read. It's the translation in English. It's one of my favorite sichos of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And it, and you'll, as you read it, what we're learning today will help you understand it. So if you want to print that out for your Shabbos reading, it's definitely worthwhile, that essay. So we are going to start with Perek Chaf Hei in Shmot. V'yidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Daber B'nei Yisrael v'kuli truma. Speak to B'nei Yisrael and take for me an offering. There's so much to say on each of these words. We're not doing it today, though. Me'et kol ish, from each man, asher yedvenu libo, that his heart inspires him with generosity, tikhu et trumati, take my offering. It's interesting, just to point out the language here, it doesn't say give an offering. It says take, because everything belongs to Hashem to begin with, so it's not like we have the power to give anything to him. V'zot ha-truma asher tikhu mi'itam, and this is the offering that you should take from them, zahav v'kesef nechoshet, gold, silver, and copper, utchelet v'argaman v'tolat shani, v'sheish v'izim, those were precious metals, and now these are threads, wool, that's blue and purple and crimson, and linen and goat hair. I've spoken before how all of these precious metals and colors, the only place that they appear in this quantity with this many different names is in the Megillah, Megillat Esther. And it's describing King Ahasuerus's palace. So it's, we always start reading these parshiot at around the same time as Purim, and it's a reminder of where we should be, where our focus should be, not on the palace of King Ahasuerus, but on our own. Ve'orot te'elim adamim, the ram's skins dyed red. Ve'orot te'chashim, the skins of this animal, the tachash that existed according to the Midrash only in this moment. It may or may not have been a rainbow-colored unicorn. Could be. Ve'atzei shittim, and now the acacia wood. And then it's repeated in the next parak, hafvav, which is also our parsha, when it's describing the actual, not just the materials needed, but what would be made out of those materials. And it says, Vasita et hakrashim, and you shall make the planks. I'm stressing the word the, because this is a case where it could have said you should make planks. We're going to see that question asked in a lot of the sources. You should make planks. But instead it says you should make the planks, et hakrashim, whereas it could have said, Vasita krashim. Lemishkan, for the tabernacle, asishitim omdim. So now we have another adjective here with the acacia wood. Omdim says upright here. That's one of the explanations in the Talmud, that you should make sure that the way you place the planks, you should remember which direction the actual tree grew, and that's how you, the planks should be placed, with the top on the top and the bottom of the bottom. We're going to see other explanations for that. Eser amot orach hakeresh. These are 10 cubits long, which are super long, which is going to add to the confusion of where these planks, where this wood came from. So super long planks. A cubit and a half shall be the width of each plank. And it then goes on to explain, I left this in because of how long they are. Okay. So now we're going to see some significance of these, this acacia wood and the planks. So in order to really understand it, we have to look at another pasuk from Parshat Balak in Bamidbar. Vayeshav Yisrael v'shitim, so that should look familiar. Shitim, atzei shitim. Just go back there. Atzei shitim is the word for acacia. And they settled then in a place called shitim. Vayachel ha'am liznot et menot Moav. And that's where the nation began to stray, or you could even say whore after, the daughters of Moav. So something really, that's where, this is the end of Parshat Balak, when Bilam, famous for the talking donkey, the non-Jewish prophet, tried to curse the Jewish people, and instead he ended up blessing us, most famously, Ma Tovu Ohalecha Yaakov, how goodly are your tents, Jacob. And he realized that he could not curse the Jewish people. So he gave Balak, the king of Moab, advice, saying that you can't curse a people that God has blessed, but here's how you can get to them, through the women. And indeed, that's what they did, and a plague was cast on the Jewish people. 24,000 people died in this plague, and the next parsha is Pinchas after Balak, because Pinchas took a sword and killed two people in an inappropriate, indecent act right in front of the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, and put an end to it. But that is the terrible event. Happens to share the same name, the name of the place, Shittim, with the name of the wood, Acacia. Okay, now here's a midrash of Atzei Shittim, this word Shittim. It says that Shin stands for Shalom, peace, Tet for Tova, goodness, Yud for Yeshua, salvation, Mem for Mechila, forgiveness. So it has, you can already kind of see where you might take this. The trees of Shittim, that's what's used, and this is the root to all of those wonderful things, especially, or even if you stray and go the wrong path, you can always come back, and you have this root through these planks that were used in the construction of peace, goodness, salvation, and forgiveness. Baal Turim also says that Bigamatria Lechaper al Maase Shittim is the same as, okay, that's not so interesting. Some very technical. It is interesting, sorry. So for the Mishkan, this standing acacia wood, which has the same numerical value as to atone on the act of that happened in Shittim. So they're equivalent and they work out that way. And then he says, Chafdalet Pamim Shittim. So the word Shittim in this week's Parsha is mentioned 24 times. That's a lot of times for one word to be mentioned. And it corresponds to the 24,000 that fell at Shittim in this plague. So that's another connection then. And then the 48 krashim, that's our other word, if you remember, of the planks. So there were a total of 48 krashim, planks, that correspond to the 48 prophets and the 48 guarding posts of the Kohanim and the Levim, which means that they were divided into 48 groups and they would rotate this kind of reserve duty where each different family of Kohanim and Levim would be responsible for a certain amount of days working in the Mishkan. And then they would be free to live their normal lives, but they had this extra added responsibility as Kohanim and Levim. And that's going to come up in later sources. Okay, so now we have two Midrashim that are going to be the source for Rashi that we're going to see in a bit. Vayisai Yisrael v'chol asher lo vayavo be'er sheva. So actually, this is not the source for Rashi, but this is going to be relevant, and I put it in chronological order. So this is from Parshat Vayigash, when Bnei Israel, literally the sons of Israel, and Israel, a.k.a. Jacob, were going down to Egypt from Eretz Canaan because of the famine. After Yosef had revealed himself to them and invited them all to come, this is when they're on their way. So Israel traveled and everything that belonged to him, and they came to Beersheba. So somehow on their way from wherever they were in Israel to Egypt, they stopped in Beersheba. Lehechan halach, where did they go? Amar Rav Nachman, shehalach lekotz arazim shenata Avraham's keno beBeersheba. They went to cut down the cedar trees. I think either acacia is a type of cedar or cedar is a type of acacia. I don't know. It's not a contradiction. That Avraham, his grandfather, had planted in Beersheba. So there is a tradition, there's a pasuk that says that Avraham planted an eshel, and we'll talk about that word, in Beersheba. Eshel might stand for achila, shtia, lina, eating, drinking, and sleeping. So some kind of inn. It could be an orchard, not sure exactly, but in any case, he did something in Beersheba. He lived in Beersheba for a while, and he had this grove of trees that Yaakov cut down and brought with him to Egypt. And this is the pasuk in Bereshit Kaf Aleph, when Avram indeed does plant this eshel. Ketiv, and it says in Shmot Kaf Vav, so that's our parsha, v'habriya chatichon b'toch hakrashim. Oh, I should have quoted this for you also. I didn't, sorry. So this, the briach is this long beam that was like the central stability beam that was with among the planks. Amar Rabbi Levi, v'habriach ha-tichon, shnayim v'shlosha, shloshim amma. So this was even longer. This was 32 ammas long. Mehechan matzu ota l'sha. Where did they find that for the time that they needed it in constructing the Mishkan? Ela milamed shayu mutzna'im imaham miyamot Yaakov Avinu. It teaches us that they actually had this very long beam, from the time of Yaakov. Havahu diktiv, and that's what's written in Shmot Lamed He. So this is at the end of Shmot in Vayakel. I think it's Vayakel. It might be Pekude. I think it's Vayakel. V'kol asher nimtza ito atzei shitim. Everything that was found with him, the acacia wood. So this implies that whatever they had to make the Mishkan was not something that they had to go out and purchase or go out and prepare, that everything was with them already prepared. And he explains here, Asher yimtza ito ein kativ kan. It doesn't say that they will find with them, ela asher nimtza ito. It says that is found with them, meaning they already had it ready and prepared. Amar Rabbi Levi, memigdal tzviya kutsitsum. So this is another opinion. I think it's a contradictory opinion, I'm not sure, that they didn't find these trees in Be'er Sheva, but rather they found them in a place called Migdal Tzviya. And we're actually not going to read the rest of this because for the sake of making this class a reasonable amount of time, I took out the entire section I had prepared. It's based on a Yerushalmi, Talmud Yerushalmi, that they didn't come from Be'er Sheva, these trees, but they came from this place in the Galil called Migdal Tzviya. Okay, so we're not reading that. Okay, now we have the midrashim relevant to our parsha. Mehechan hayu ha-krashim. From where did they get these beams? Yaakov avinu nata otam b'sha'ah she'arad l'mitzrayim. Yaakov planted them at the time that he came from Egypt. Amar lebanav, he said to his sons, Benai, my sons, atidim atem lehiga el mikan. In the future, you will be redeemed from here. V'ha-kadosh baruch hu atid lomar lechem, Misetam nigalim asuli mishkan. Misha atam nigalim asuli mishkan. And Hashem in the future is going to say to you, from the time that you are redeemed, make me a mishkan. Ela amdu v'natu arzim. So they went and they planted these cedar trees. Bisha sheyomar lachem lasot mishkan. And at the time that he told them to make the mishkan, and the cedar, the wood, would have been found in their hands. Miyadasu, immediately they did it. Kishamar lahem avihem, just as their father had told them. Amdu v'natu arzim. They went and they planted cedar trees so that it would be ready and prepared for the time that when they would be redeemed. Okay, so Rashi here, you see, ve'atzei shitim, the acacia wood. Ma'ayin hayu lahem b'midbar. So he asks this question, and now we can understand a little bit more deeply where this question is coming from. He says, from where did they have acacia wood in the wilderness? And this question, the deeper meaning of this question is meaning that this acacia wood had to be with them ready and prepared. So how did they have that? Peresh Rabbi Tanchuma. So Rabbi Tanchuma explains, and it's in the Midrash Tanchuma, and this is an unusual way in which Rashi is introducing this midrash in the name of Rabbi Tanchuma. It's true, it is Rabbi Tanchuma, but rarely does Rashi ever bring the sources. You see in the Chabad, it's in brackets, because scholars then have to search through the midrashim to find where Rashi got it from. So Rashi does not cite his sources for the most part. And he rarely, even if sometimes he'll say it's a midrash, but he'll rarely tell us where in the Midrash it's from. So this is unusual that he's being so specific. And if that piques your interest, that is one of the questions that the Lubavitcher Rebbe asks in his essay. So Rabbi Tanchuma explains, Yaakov avina tzipa b'ruach ha-kodesh. Yaakov saw with ruach ha-kodesh, divine inspiration, she'atidin Yisrael livnot mishkan b'midbar. that in the future Israel would build a Mishkan in the wilderness. Behevi arizim lemitzayim v'nata'am. And he brought cedar wood to Egypt and planted them there. V'tziva levanav litlam imahem kishi yetzu mimitzayim. And he commanded his sons to take them with him when they went from Egypt. And then Rashi here repeats this, which is also unusual for Rashi. He changes it up a little bit. So that's the Rashi on Pasuk Hei from Perek Chaf Hei, the beginning of Parshat Truma. And this is the Rashi in the next chapter when we learn about the beams. Ve'asita et ha-krashim, make the beams. Hayalo lomar ve'asita krashim. Just as we said, the Pasuk, the verse could have said, just make the beams. Make beams, sorry, instead of make these specific beams, which seems to be implied in the et ha. The et ha is referring to specific beams versus just make beams. And not only that, but if you were to read through the Parsha, you would see that nothing else is specified with the hay, the beams, from any of the other materials for the Mishkan. This is the only thing that seems to be referring to something very specific. Umahu hakrashim, so what are these specific beams? Me'otan ha'omdim u'miyuchadim l'chach, from those that were standing and designated for this. Yaakov Avinu tzipa baruch kodesh v'natar arzim b'mitzrayim. Yaakov, our father, saw with divine inspiration and he planted cedars in Egypt. U'kishamit tziva levanav lahalotam imahem kesheyatzu b'mitzrayim. And when he died, he commanded his sons to bring them up with them when they would leave Egypt. Amar lahem, he said to them, she'atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'tzavot etchem la'asot mishkan b'midbar mi'atzei shittim. In the future, Hashem is going to command you to make a mishkan in the wilderness from acacia wood. See to it that it is prepared in your hands. Hu sheyasad habavli bepiyut. This is the liturgical poet composed in his liturgical poem. And indeed, I took out my Passover machzor and I found it. It is indeed there. We have it. I don't know who actually says it in their davening. It's one of those, you know, shaded gray things that most of us skip. It, God's voice, flew to the planting of the quickened ones, the cedar beams of our houses. So this is referencing the fact that we planted it, and they became the cedar beams of our houses. For they hurried to have them ready in their hands prior to this moment. Okay, Ibn Ezra vociferously disagrees with this entire notion that they took them out of Israel, planted them in Egypt, and then took them back out. And so we're going to read him in English. And acacia wood. Some of our ancient sages said that the patriarch Jacob planted acacia trees in Egypt, and Israel, upon the command of Moses, brought them out. And every man with whom was found acacia wood brought it. If you remember, that's the pasuk that we saw. We saw it inside the midrash that said, "Nimtza is found," as opposed to "Yimtza, he will find." So that was the proof for this idea that they already possessed it. They possessed acacia as they possessed the blue and the purple, the wool. However, one wonders, why does scripture say with whom was found? Which means it was used for personal needs. So Ibn Ezra is reading more into that statement to say, why was it found with them? Because they were using it. Now, if we so interpret it, then we must ask, why did the Israelites take acacia wood out of Egypt? What need did they have for acacia wood? Furthermore, it is clear that the Egyptians thought that the Israelites were going to offer sacrifices and then return to Egypt. That is why the Egyptians lent the Israelites gold and silver jewels plus raiment. This is a debate when it says, it uses, when they leave, it says, they shoel, which shoel can either mean ask or it can mean borrow. So if they borrowed all the gold and silver from the Egyptians, then the Egyptians expected it to be given back. Or if they asked for it, aka demanded it as they left, then they didn't expect that. How could the Israelites take out many boards, each one of which was 10 cubits? The boards were also accompanied by bars. In Egypt, they passed by the seat of the king. What was the answer to those who asked them why they were carrying acacia wood when they were going on a three-day journey to offer sacrifices? Now we do not know whether our ancestors had a tradition that the Israelites took the acacia wood out of Egypt. If they did, then we will accept their tradition. This is very interesting. I'm just thinking in the back of my mind that maybe Ibn Ezra didn't have access to all the midrashim that Rashi did, because he doesn't seem to understand the significance of the backstory of that of Yaakov having taken them in the command to the children. He just has this notion that there was some tradition that they took this wood out of Egypt. However, if their statement is based on reasoning, so if it's a midrash, fine. But if it's because of logical reasoning, then we must seek another explanation. We suggest that there was a forest of acacia trees next to Mount Sinai. When Israel came to Sinai, Moses told them that they would be spending a long time there. I've already explained that there was no cloud over them at this time. Each one of them made a booth with this wood. The princes made court-like structures, each one in accordance with his status. They cut the entire forest down, for they were a large nation. They made booths. Moses did not speak to them regarding the tabernacle until after the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. This is the meaning of with whom was found. So yes, it was found with them, but not because they brought it from Egypt, rather because there was a grove of trees by Mount Sinai and they needed shelter as they spent so much time by the mountain and they needed to make huts. And my son Ilan pointed this out, that if indeed the they had made Sukkot with this wood and then that very same wood was used to make the Mishkan, we have an even deeper understanding of the connection between Sukkot and the Mishkan, and the non-Jews call it the Feast of Tabernacles, the Mishkan. So the Mishkan was actually made from their shelters, if the Ibn Ezra is true. So I thought that was really interesting. Okay, but we're a pro-Rashi class. I apologize, Ibn Ezra, and we're going to defend Rashi. How are we going to defend Rashi? Through the Gur Aryeh Maharal of Prague, super commentary on the Rashi. So, v'tziva lebanav litlam imahem. So if you remember how a super commentary works, it is not a commentary in the Torah. So his quoting phrase is not from the Torah, but rather from Rashi. And he commanded his sons to take them, the trees, with them when they left Egypt. So referring to Yaakov having planted these trees and giving over the message to his children to take them with them when they would be redeemed. Hiksha haraiva. Ibn Ezra has a difficulty with this. That's what the Rava is. Sharei Ketiv, for behold it says, V'kol asher nimtza ito atzei shitim hivyo. Everything that was found with them, which Ibn Ezra, if you remember, interprets as meaning for their own personal use, which is why he says that they used the trees that they found in Mount Sinai for their own personal use to make booths. Umashma shahaya nimtza ito litzarcho. It implies that it was found with him for their needs. V'lo shaya machino to lemishkan, and not that they were originally prepared for the tabernacle. V'kushizot eina tzricha lifnim. It's not a good difficulty that Ibn Ezra has. Afilu im ne'amar shapevush nimtza ito litzarcho. Even if you want to understand that phrase, that it was found with them, as meaning for their own needs, ma b'chach, so what? Because these trees were not yet sanctified for the Mishkan, so therefore they could have used it for their own needs, even if they brought it out of Egypt for the future Mishkan, they were not yet sanctified, so they could still use it. They could use it for their own needs until they would become sanctified. And it still, that was found with them. It could have still been beams that they brought with them out of Egypt and not that they found in some mysterious grove next to Mount Sinai. If you've ever been to Mount Sinai, you know there are no groves of trees, or what they think is Mount Sinai, or the Sinai Desert in general. But in any case, we need to say that it was for the Mishkan that they were preparing the acacia wood. Because if that's not the case, why did they need such long beams of acacia wood? Rather, they were with them for their own purposes and needs. And if it would come to the point where they would be commanded to for the Mishkan, then they donate it to the Mishkan. And on the contrary, because it says, with regard to the acacia wood, and this is in Parshat Vayakel, v'kol asher nimtzaito etzei shitim l'malechet avoda, everything that was found with them, the acacia wood for the work of the work. Perusho, ki Yisrael nimtzau etzei shitim itam l'malechet avoda. This literally means it was the etzei shitim were found with Israel for this work. V'hem hechino etam l'avoda, and they prepared it for the work. U'mikol makom,
And even if they hadn't prepared them, it's just a claim. It doesn't have any real. He's saying Ibn Ezra's arguments don't have any substance. And he, Ibn Ezra also made a difficulty. What would the Egyptians, who were under the impression that it was only a three-day journey, what would they say when they saw them with all these planks of woods? And they said, but you're only going for 3 days, Bamidbar, in the wilderness. And you're only going to sacrifice offerings. We don't need to delve into that difficulty either, that Ibn Ezra brings up. Because they said they would have to make an altar, a tabernacle, and an altar just for that moment, for those 3 days that they were there. 600,000 people could make a tabernacle in an hour. They didn't need much time to do that, and so therefore that's not a good argument either. They could have easily brought that much wood for even a temporary purpose of a three-day journey. Umnam, mipni she'ya savur harav she'ikar mashehu korchu lomar, ki mimitzrayim hotziyam bishvel shelo haya lehem krashim b'midbar. So Ibn Ezra reasons that the main point that the rabbis were forced to say that they brought the beams from Egypt is because there are no beams in the wilderness. Afalgav de gamzeraya de ma'ain lahem krashim b'midbar, even though that's a proof, because where did they get beams in the wilderness? Mikomakom enze ikar rayatam. In any case, this isn't the main focal point of what they were doing by taking these beams from Egypt. Aval ikar davar ze davar niflam od. Rather, the whole point of this Midrashic explanation that the beams were brought with them from Egypt is wondrous. It's because Yaakov, their forefather, was worthy to be part of the beams. Because he's the one who commanded his children to plant the cedar trees there. And we learn in the Midrash, that when Yaakov came down from Egypt, he commanded his sons to plant the cedar trees for the Mishkan, like it says there, we read it. And further it says there, that this very long central plank came with Yaakov to Egypt. See how this beam went down with Yaakov to Egypt. So not just that it was taken from Egypt into the wilderness, but rather that Yaakov brought it to Egypt, like we saw in the Midrash from Parshat Vayigash. And on the cedar trees it says that at the time that they went down to Egypt, he commanded his sons to plant them. Yaakov was this main supporting beam. It's a metaphor for Yaakov himself. He strengthens everything. Like we said in Parshat Vayetzeh, he unites all of Israel. Just like we learned there, he made for himself this circle of rocks to protect himself from the animals, and then they all ended up one rock under him. So the unity of the tribes, the unity of the Jewish people is all reflected in Yaakov. Ubanav hem hakrashim. And his sons are all of the planks. So he's the main supporting beam, and his children are represented by all the planks. And how many were there? We saw in the Balaturim, one of the first sources, that there were 48 beams. Arba pamim yud bet. That's 4 times 12. Arba krashim neged shevet achat. 4 beams for one tribe. Ve'en kan larich. We don't have to expand on this here. Rak divrei chachamim hem bechokhma gedola. Just understand that the words of the rabbis are very wise. Achein rashi shepereshe vi arzim lemitzayim kasheyarad lemitzayim. And therefore, Rashi explains that he brought the cedar trees to Egypt when they went down to Egypt, Sivat Bana Vechule, to command his children, etc. Ve'afilu im yesh arzim b'mitzrayim, and even if there had been cedar trees already in Egypt, Sivat lehem lintor arzim chashuvim, He commanded them to plant these important cedar trees, kamo shayu tzrichin lahan, like they would be needed for them. So there's much more metaphorical significance in these trees, and it's not just a matter of what makes the most sense, like Ibn Ezra wants to do, but rather it's placing Yaakov literally into that supporting beam and the planks all representing the tribes, and that's why it was important that it came from the land of Canaan, from Israel to Egypt and back into the wilderness again to reflect this unity and this important significance. Okay, so that's our defense of Rashi against the Ibn Ezra. Now we have the Kli Yakar, and this is on the Krashim in Perek Kaf Vav. Vasita to Krashim Lamishkan, HaKrashim Behe HaYidya. So he's saying, why do we have that He, the Krashim? Hainu Otam Arazim Shenatan Lam Yaakov B'Mitzrayim. Because these are the very same cedar trees that Yaakov planted in Egypt. Siman L'Davar HaKrashim Lamishkan Ola L'Mispar Yaakov Avinu Natala Hamarazim. And he gives another Gematria, HaKrashim Lamishkan. The numerical value of those two words is the same as our father Yaakov planted the cedar trees in Egypt. I did the math. You'll just have to trust me or you can do it yourself. And they both equal Taf Taf Resh Tzadi K, which is 1,095. Ki Amar Yaakov LeKadosh Baruch Hu, because Yaakov said to Hashem, B'mati Tratzel Ma'aseh HaEgel, how will you be satisfied? It's not the right word, but after the act of the golden calf, how can they make it up to you? V'heshiv lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'etzei shitim. Hashem answered with acacia wood. V'chein ita b'midrash etzei shitim l'kaper al shtut ma'aseh ha'egel. So we have in the midrash that the acacia wood atones for the shtut, the ridiculousness of the golden calf. So we had it atoning for shitim, the place where the plague broke out, and we also have it atoning for the golden calf. V'nirtzeh lehem l'chapara lifnei Hashem. And God was satisfied with the atonement before God. V'chein masik v'tanchuma, and it also says this in the Midrash. U'b'masachet yoma, darshu ma she'ne'amar atzishitim omdim she'omdim lo'olam. So there's a Gemara where it says, why does it have the word omdim, standing, with the atzishitim? What does it mean, standing acacia wood? It means that they stood forever. And according to the simple explanation that Yaakov had prepared them for the work of the house of our God, that's why it says omdim, standing, that they took from that same acacia wood that was standing prepared for this role. Kizeu mashma'ut lashon omdim. That's what omdim means. Beharbe mekomot, in many places. Bedavar hamuchan veomed lachach, in the thing that is ready and standing for this. Uba haramez barazim ela lamasha ne'amar. And it's also hinted at with this cedar wood. Tzadik katamar yifrach. The tzadik will flower like a date tree. Ke'erez bavanon yiske. It will grow like the cedar trees of Lebanon. And since the body of a righteous person is compared to the cedar tree, that's why Hashem caused his presence to dwell within cedar wood. To teach in this way that he also dwells among the children of Israel, Shinim Shaluka Arazim, who are also compared to cedar trees, Almaim, by the water, Ukumoshan Amar, and just like it says, Vishachanti Betocham. So in Pasuk Chetz, we only went through Pasuk He, but it describes a few more elements of the Mishkan, and then it says, Vishachanti Betocham, and I will dwell, and this is translated as among them. You would have expected it to say, I will dwell in it, meaning the Mishkan, Betocho. But instead, I will dwell among them. Lomar she'ikar ha'shchina ba'avor Yisrael. To tell you that the whole main purpose of God's presence, the Shechina, is for the sake of Israel. Ubal ha'torim, like we saw in the beginning, the Baal Torim, explains 48 beams corresponds to the 48 prophets and the 48 watches of the Kohanim and Levim, not watches like this, but guards, watches. Uma inyanam al hakrashim. What does this have to do with the beams? Im lo lefisha tzadik nimshal le'erez kamor. If not for the fact that a tzadik is compared to cedar trees. And then he also talks about the comparison between the 24,000 people who died and the 24 mentions of Shittim. Okay. So now, the Or HaMa'or, HaMe'ir, sorry, who is Rabbi Zev Wolf Halevi of Zitamar, so a Hasidic Rabbi. And he, it's very Kabbalistic what he says. I think I'm going to skip it just because I didn't really understand it to begin with. It's very Kabbalistic and has to do with Chochmah, Bina, and Da'at and all of the Midos, because I really like the Emet Liakov, and it's a little bit long, so I want to make sure we have time to get through it. So make these beams. Pireish Rashi Zal Rizal. Rashi explains, and this is what he says, Me'otan ha'omdim ha'miyuchadim l'kach, from those that are standing and designated for this. Yaakov avinu nata arazim b'mitzrayim. Yaakov planted cedar trees in Egypt. U'kishamit tziva l'banav l'halotam imahem. And when he died, he commanded his children to bring them up with them, kishayetzu m'mitzrayim, when they would come out of Egypt. Ve'amar lahem, and he said to them, she'atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'tzavot l'asot mishkan b'midbar. In the future, God would command them to make a tabernacle in the wilderness. Me'atzei shitim, from acacia wood. Re'u shiyu mezumanim b'yadchem. See to it that they are prepared in your hand. Ad kan l'shano, that's the end of the Rashi. V'hu ma'amar chazal, and this is also what the rabbi said in the Midrash, Reshit Rabbah. Aleph. Hatam she'asa Yaakov kein. What's the reason why Yaakov did this? D'lechora haya yechol etzavot she'iku itam imitraim atzeshitim im b'midbar lo yikablam. At first glance, it seems that he could have commanded them that they would take with them from Egypt acacia wood, if they didn't find it in the wilderness, if they couldn't get it in the wilderness. V'gam lamalei lekachat b'Be'er Sheva mashanata Avraham. But then, why did they have to take it from Be'er Sheva, like we saw before in the Midrash, that which Avraham planted? V'halo yachol lekachtam mimakom migorav. They could have just taken it from the place where they were living. Why did they have to make a special trip? V'yarti le'al b'chidushai l'parshat v'yigash. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky already explained in his insights into Parshat Vayigash, which is when the Jews leave Eretz Canaan for Egypt. Dehaya kan inyan psychologi. Remember, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky is 20th century, so he can use words like that. So here was a psychological matter. Ki ro'im anachnu she'ashem amar lo sham, because we see that God said to them there, Al tira mireda mitzrayma, don't be afraid from going down to Egypt. Anochi ereditcha, I am going down with you, Mitzrayim, to Egypt. Anochi elcha gamala, and I will also surely bring you up. Umuchach shaya Yaakov avino yirei, and it shows that Yaakov was afraid. Shema chas v'shalom, perhaps, God forbid, yishtaku banav b'mitzrayim. His children would get rooted, would take root in Egypt. That's why Yaakov doesn't want to leave. V'adad shebichdei limnoa etzeh lo yaspik ma sheyimsor lehem siman ba'al peh pakod yifkod elokim etchem. And he knew that in order to avoid this fate of becoming entrenched in Egypt, it wasn't enough that which he had transmitted to them orally. Pakod yifkod elokim etchem. Hashem will surely remember you. I've spoken about this before in the shir on Serach Bat Asher, that these were like the code words. And Moshe, when Moshe came back to Egypt and used those words with the Jewish people, that's how they knew that he was the real deal. It was like the secret passcode. But that wasn't enough, the oral tradition. Ela shehem yitzdarchu ledavar mamashi. They needed something actual, something substantial, physical. Sheyamod keneged einehem, that would stand before their eyes. V'yazkiram b'kol eit al ha-ge'ulah muvtachat. And that would remind them at every moment of the promised redemption. V'lefichach hevi lahem atzei shittim. And that's why he brought to them this acacia wood, ומעכשיו תהיה המסורת בזה הלשון. And from now, it would be under this passing down of the tradition, הלא תראה שנפקד עוד, כי הלא כאן הם העצין שממנו נבנת המשכן לכשנגאל. Look here, that when we are remembered again, here, these are the trees that from them we will build the Mishkan for the redemption. V'hainu mitzvah mamashit ma'asit. This is a substantial and actual physical mitzvah. V'ayin sham shebe'archi shezeu ma'alat amirat ha'korbanot bizman she'in beit ha'mikdash kayam. And then, I didn't read what he wrote in over there, but he's saying that he argued there that this is the high level of those who have the time and who have the practice of saying the actual karbanot. I have never said them, I apologize. It's something most people skip. I did have boys who at certain times in their lives, I don't know what my adult children do now, would try to get to shul early so that they could say these karbanot, which is very admirable. So this is the holy level of saying the karbanot in our davening, not skipping them, even when the Beit HaMikdash doesn't exist, because it's an actual physical thing that we can do to remind us of the upcoming redemption. Bet, lefi divrei ha-midrash hazeh, according to the words of this midrash, yatsa lanu bior chadash. We have a new insight, b'divrei chazal, in the words of our rabbis in the Gemara, in Yoma. Now I have to find my notes. So I encourage you to look up this Gemara because it's really beautiful. So Amar Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chanina, my dechtiv etze shitim ondim. Why does it say these standing acacia trees? Shema, and then it gives a bunch of explanations. One of them was the one I explained that it has to be in the same direction of the top of the tree and the bottom of the tree. And then but Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky is bringing in the third or fourth explanation. So this is a conversation between Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Chanina, and they're arguing who has the more impact on the long-lastingness of the Torah. And Rabbi Chanina says, do you think you can debate with me? Because I work for the Torah so that it will not be forgotten in Israel. That's what that means. Okay, and what's the whole story? So then it says, what does he do to make sure the Torah won't be forgotten? This is not in here, so I encourage you to look it up. He says, what do? I go and I sow flax and I twine nets, and then I hunt deer and feed the meat to the orphans, and then I prepare the parchment from their hides and I write a Torah, and I go to a city and I teach 5 children each 1 book of the Torah, and 6 other children I teach each 1 order from the Mishnah, and I tell them to read it to the other children. And in that way, the Torah will not be forgotten. Oh, and that's going to come up later. Sorry, I skipped something. Okay, so that's what's going on here. Talmud Lomar Omdim. So why does the Pasuk say Omdim standing? She Omdim le'olam ul'olme olamim. Ad kan l'shono. To tell you that it is eternal. So omdim means standing, but it also means eternal. Klomar, that is to say, dematzino lashon amida, this word amida, dekayal amida la'olam, that it means eternal standing. V'chagon ve'amidam la'olam, and here's a bunch of psukim where standing has the connotation of eternal, forever. Aval, ikar divrayam l'cha'ora tamua. But at first glance, their words are curious. Ma shayach tzivui kazeh? What does this command have to do with? Demaza talui b'moshe? Why would that be dependent on Moshe? Dize talui b'im yisku olav? And why would he merit or not? Aval ma hayachol Moshe lasot? What could Moshe possibly do? He's going to die, right? He's not going with them. Umnam nir el ve'er. Lefi divrei hamidrash. We can explain this according to the words of midrash that was quoted above. She'avram avinu nata arazim beber sheva. Avram planted these trees in Be'er Sheva. Ve'Yaakov halach l'sham likotzotam. And Yaakov went to take them. Bishvil binyan hamishkan, for the building of the Mishkan. Ve'nir'e b'byor hadavar. And it seems in this explanation, when we explain it. De'lecha'ora ha'bevaday yachlu b'nei Yisrael limtzo'a tzeshitim b'li ha'etzim shanata Avram. Of course, b'nei Yisrael, like the Ibn Ezra says, would have been able to find acacia wood wherever they needed to, and they didn't need the ones that were planted by Avram. Vihine itza b'gemara, as it says in the Gemara, and this is the whole story that I told you before about the process that Rabbi Chiya would go through to ensure that the Torah was not forgotten, and that he did every piece of it. He shechted the deer, he then tanned the hide, he then wrote the Torah in each and every step of the way, so that the Torah would not be forgotten. And v'hainu d'amar Rabbi kama gedolim ma'aseh Chiya. And Rabbi, the author of the Mishnah, says, how great are the deeds of Chiya. V'hainu shehu be'atzmo zara pashtan v'kala mimenu rashtot. That he himself was the one who planted the flax and who spread the nets and he hunted the deer, etc., etc. Bishvil lichtov svarim bishvil hatinokot v'lelamdam. In order to write the books, in order that the children would learn it. V'yadua v'shem hagra, the Vilna Gaon tells us, shibiyar dehu mishum sharatza shekol ha'inyan mitchila v'ad sofo, ya b'kedusha v'tahara, b'lo yit'arav b'zashum shemetz machshavet pasul. He wanted to ensure that the entire process was done with holiness and purity, and that there wouldn't be even the smallest aspect of something not right as part of the process, a bad thought. And that's why he did the whole thing himself. And that was the only way in which he could be sure that he would succeed, and that this Torah that would be taught to the children would endure, v'tisha'er imam le'olam va'ed, and would stay with them forever. V'nir'ed shemitam ze ratza Avraham sheha'etzim sheishtamshu behem lemishkan lo yustam etzim min hashuk. And it seems that from this reason, Avraham, going all the way back to Avraham, wanted that the trees that would be used for the Mishkan would not be just random trees that you could buy in the marketplace. Ela, rather, tzrichim liot etzim ke'ela shekol nitiyatam v'haisuk behem yaleshem shamayim. He wanted that the trees that his future generations would use for the Mishkan would be that which were everything about them, the planting and the whole dealing with them, would be for the sake of heaven. V'lchein davka be'Be'er Sheva. And therefore, it was specifically in the city of Be'er Sheva, sham nata eshel, that's where he made this eshel, this grove or orchard or inn or whatever it was. V'sham kra b'shem Hashem ad olam, and there he called out in the name of God forever. V'sham haya makom hamikudash shel ha'avot, and this is a holy place for our forefathers. Shama hu hamakom ha'ra'ui lintoa etzim bishvil ha'mishkan, and there it was a worthy place to plant trees that would be used for a mishkan. L'fiza nira b'kavanata gemara, and therefore it seems the intention of the Gemara, she'at zivui l'moshe haya al tshalav lihishtamish davka be'etzei shitim elu, that Moshe specifically needed to use these trees. Klomar davka atzei shitim elu yesh behem hakoach la'amod le'olam va'ed. It's specifically these trees that were planted by Avram that have the potential in them to remain eternal, to stand eternally. Ki elo enan stam itzeshitim. These are not just regular acacia wood, shegadlu, that grew. Elehem nitzu aide Avram Avinu. They were planted by Avram. L'shem mitzvah v'chesed, for the sake of a mitzvah and a kindness. V'Yaakov Avinu k'sharatza l'holich ito hakhana l'vinyan ha'mishkan. And Yaakov, when he wanted to bring with him this preparation for the building of the Mishkan, he went and he sought out these cedar trees that had been planted for the sake of chesed, kindness. The mikivan shehikpita haTorah shelo lehanif barzel avnei mizbeach, just like, and we touched on this last week, that the Torah was so careful that iron would never touch the stones of the altar, because iron is a material for weapons and the altar brings peace. V'kol barzel, and the voice of iron, lo yishma behibanot beit hamikdash, would not be heard in the building of the temple. Imkein karshei hamishkan hayu tzrichim shegam yitzirat ha'arazim tiya al yidei chesed. It also needed to be that the creation of these planks of wood would have been by way of kindness. Ve'az tiya hashra'at ha'shchina shlima. And then the resting of the shchina there would be complete. Ve'etzim ke'elu yamdu la'adol ome alamim. And these trees would endure forever. This wood would endure forever. Ki'arei shorsham ve'yisodam be'gedusha v'chesed nizra. Because their roots and their foundation was in holiness and kindness that they were planted. Ve'lachein itztavem Moshe lehishtamish davka be'etzim ele. And that's why Moshe was commanded to use specifically this wood. Atze shitim omdim. The standing eternal acacia wood. Ubeemet Rainu Shalosh Alta Yad Zar B'Mishkan, and we saw that no foreign power really could rule over the Mishkan. Ki b'yisodo v'shorsho hayasham hachesed merav in hakadusha, because in its very foundation and root, the chesed, the kindness, was mixed in with the holiness, the kedusha. And what this reminded me of is sort of the meaningfulness, if you have family heirlooms like a kiddush cup or Chanukiah or whatever it might be, that when we use these things that have been passed down in our family, or if you don't have it, but you've started your own traditions and you have your own Judaica that you have infused into it with kindness and holiness, that that will be your ticket in preserving the future generations. So thank you, everybody.